Honourable members, good morning also to the National Commissioner of Police, General Sithole, and his delegation. Also welcome to civil society, the media. You are very much welcome to this portfolio committee meeting. Colleagues, maybe just in terms of our program for today and tomorrow, colleagues will remember that today we're going to focus on the first item will be another briefing from SAPS with regard to the vetting of crime in intelligence and other senior members. It's a follow-up meeting since our last meeting of last year to get an indication what are the issues with relation. Is there any progress? What's the challenges? Because the committee has indicated previously that vetting is non-negotiable. It's the only way we're going to ensure that our top policemen and women subscribe to the necessary requirements. So we're looking forward to that interaction. Then, importantly, we also resolved last year that we have spent some time again to look at the methodology in terms of the crime stats. In terms of approach, what's being done, where are we with the stats SA process, is the link between the stations and national, what's happening in that space. So we also will deal with that. We also invited the independent researcher, Dr. De Kock, to also speak about his analysis on that. Then one important issue that we won't go into that today, but it also relates to the issue of the quarterly crime stats. Now, in 2016, the Minister of Evaluation and Performance in the Presidency, Minister Haradebe, indicated that there will be quarterly crime stats made available. Now, since then, we had two changes of the executive authority and also three changes in terms of the accounting officer. So we want just to flag that that is an issue that we will have to again deal with quite soon. I think the portfolio committee is on record that we prefer a quarterly breakdown of the crime stats, but I think the new executive authority, we also need to talk to him about that. So that's an issue. We won't deal with that today, but it's an issue after today. I think we must again reflect on that, how we're going to deal that taking forward. So I just want to put that on the table. Then I think also included in our pack is a kind of feedback on the Nkobo case. But if we get time, we'll go to it. But members will remember that we were supposed to deal tomorrow with the issue of safety and security at police stations. So that was part of that. But we had to postpone that briefing of tomorrow because there was a proposal last week that we have tomorrow a joint meeting with the Justice Committee with relation to the delay in the state capture cases by the NPA. So unfortunately, we have to postpone that meeting of tomorrow. So if we've got still time, we can go into that in terms of the current situation at Nkobo. So I just want to bring that under members' action. Then also, members, just to indicate that tomorrow's meeting will start at 9 o'clock in the same venue. And there has been a research document also be made available, and I think they might be following a further few documents. Then, honourable members, just a few observations from my side. I think we have noted yesterday's arrest by SAPS and the DPCI of 9 officials of the Department of Environmental Affairs and also other suspects with relation to abalone poaching in the Western Cape, so that is a good development, and I think that is the right way to go, so well done to SAPS, because it's an area where the plundering of our environmental resources is a major issue, so we're looking forward to developments in that field. Then we also saw that the Acting Police Commissioner in KZN, they also suspended a possible corrupt policeman yesterday and arrested, so it is good if police management acts and ensures that any suspect that is involved in possible crime is dealt with. Accordingly, we welcome that as well. Then, National Commissioner, maybe one issue also, maybe for further discussion. We've seen this last 3 weeks, I think, a lot of cash in transit incidents across the country. And it is a huge concern, and we believe that SAPS and the banking industry should really work together to ensure that it's dealt with accordingly, because it seems to be quite good organized, and it also relates to the issue of crime intelligence. So from the portfolio committee side, we believe it's a risk for us going forward, the cash in transit heist that's happening, and it's not only restricted to one province, so we think it is quite important. Then we also note the comments of the Minister of Police in Sunday Times about crime intelligence and the need to ensure that there's a turnaround. So I think also part of our interaction today is to ensure that that focus shouldn't be lost, and it's quite important that we move forward with regard to that. Right, members, then I'm going to ask the honourable members to introduce themselves, and then I'll ask the National Commissioner to introduce his delegation.
Goeiemôre dames en heer. My naam is Enjimo Lewazi. Ek is 'n lid van hierdie komitee en ek dank u.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Phindile Mola, a member of this portfolio committee. I thank you.
Good morning. I'm Jerome Make, a member of this committee.
Well, good morning. My name is Philip Mitong, a member of the committee.
Hi, I'm Diane Kola-Barnard, also of the committee.
Thank you, Chair. Sanbonani Ikamusa Kelempele, Inungale Committee.
Thank you, Honourable Members. General Sithole.
Thanks very much, Honourable Chair. And good morning, Honourable Members. Honourable Chair, our delegation today, I will just call them and they will make an indication. Firstly, in our midst, we've got Lieutenant General P.C. Ngwenya, Deputy National Commissioner for HRM. Then we've got Lieutenant General Tsumane, Deputy National Commissioner for Crime Detection. We have Lieutenant General S.C. Mfazi, Deputy National Commissioner Management Intervention. We have Major General K.P. Ngobo, Acting Divisional Commissioner Crime Intelligence. We've got Major General Zimo, Crime Intelligence. We have Major General T.N. Skukuni, the Acting Divisional Noise for Crime Stats. Then we've got Major General L. Ravi, Component Head Strategic Management. Then we've got Brigadier Vishnaidu from Corporate Communication. And we have Colonel Stain, Parliamentary Liaison from Strategic Management. We've also noted what the Chair has actually related on at a later stage. I'm sure we'll relate especially the response to the heist. Thank you.
Thank you, General Sithole. Dr. Kok, do you want to be welcome? Thank you very much. Then, honourable members, we will immediately start with a presentation on CI, the status of vetting. I know there is maybe a technological challenge due to the fact that we've changed venues due to the leak in the NCOP building. Maybe it is now ready, but I think we can start with a hard copy. So over to SAPS. Thank you.
Thanks, Barambo. Thanks very much, Honourable Chair. Our presentation, Chair, will be led by General Ravi. Thank you.
Thank you very much, General Sithole. General Ravi, welcome.
Honourable Chair and members of the committee, good morning. The first presentation that we will attend to is the briefing by SAPS on the status of vetting within the crime intelligence environment as well as other senior members in the South African Police Service. It needs to be mentioned, Honourable Chair, before I go into the presentation, that we previously presented on the matter and we indicated that within the capacity that we have within the South African Police Service, specifically crime intelligence, that we've identified certain priority environments that has been earmarked for the purpose of the vetting or prioritized for the purpose of the vetting process. Going into the detail, there's two aspects that we're going to attend to. First of all is the status of vetting within the crime intelligence environment. And the second part of the presentation will talk to the status of vetting of senior management in the South African Police Service. Honourable Chair, the slide number 3, status of vetting crime intelligence. If we look at the current status of vetting for major generals and brigadiers, you will note that there's a total of 51 senior managers within the crime intelligence environment. Now, out of the 51 members, 29 of them has got a top secret clearance, while 22 of the senior managers, the vetting process is currently in process. Moving to slide number 4, this still with the crime intelligence environment, where we're looking at the vetting status colonels and below. May I just be allowed to set up the presentation there? I see it's almost ready. Thank you, Honourable Chair. As you will note on the screen there, we are now on slide 4, the status of vetting within the crime intelligence environment, and the focus is currently on the vetting status of colonels and below. The total staff complement within the crime intelligence environment amounts to 7,437 employees. Now, post levels 12 and below, that is from colonel level, all the employees lower down, we have 921 employees with a top secret clearance. There's 133 with a secret clearance. There's 242 with a confidential clearance. There's 81 employees where the security clearance was denied. There's 1,229 employees where the security clearance has expired and they are in a process or they must reapply. There are currently 647 security clearances in process, and then we have a total of 4,184 employees within the crime intelligence environment that does not have a security clearance. Chair, with your permission, I just want to recap on slide 3 while it's on the screen. You will note that I refer to the 51 major generals and brigadiers in the environment, of which 29 has got a top secret clearance, and 22, the vetting process is currently busy. Moving to slide number 5, the crime intelligence, this is the total crime intelligence. You will note that the total is 7,488. Within the total environment, we have got 950 employees with a top secret clearance, 133 with a secret clearance, 242 with a confidential clearance, 81 where the security clearance was denied, expired, 1,229, those employees must now reapply. In process, we have a total of 669, and then the total number of employees without a clearance amounts to 4,184. So, slide number 6. Chair, the 531 members have been issued with valid security clearances since 1 April 2017, compared to the previous financial year at this time where we had 204 employees with a security clearance that's been issued. Now, that represents an increase of 150%. I've also indicated in the introduction, Chair, that there's a dedicated focus on specific prioritized environments within the South African Police Services, and in this environment, the vetting investigation of senior management of crime intelligence specifically is one of the priority areas. Of the 51 senior managers of crime intelligence, 29, as indicated, have top secret clearance, and the remaining 22 is currently in the process of being vetted. All members, where we have a situation that their security clearances have expired, have been instructed to reapply for the vetting process. So in total, 669 security clearances are currently in process. The breakdown relating to the 669, we have 22 senior managers, 621 CI prioritized members deployed countrywide, and that includes your collectors and analysts, 16 crime intelligence members that are currently deployed at Oliver Tambo International Airport, and then lastly included in the 669 is 10 police liaison officers. Honourable Chair, moving into the senior management cadre within the South African Police Service. As reflected on the presentation, we have a total of 934 senior managers. Now, out of the 934, the current status is as follows. We have 401 senior managers with a top secret clearance, 6 with a secret clearance, 4 with a confidential clearance. There's 55 where the security clearance have expired and they need to reapply. 8 instances where the security clearances were denied. There's 336 currently in process, and there's 124 that are still outstanding in terms of the applications to be vetted. At the level of Lieutenant General, Honourable Chair, you will note that there's a total of 30. Out of the 30, 23 has got a top secret clearance. 5 clearance processes are currently in process, and there's 2 with no application, but I need to mention, Honourable Chair, that those 2 are was in the office of the previous minister. They have not since been deployed or redeployed. They are not currently in the office. So for all practical purposes, those 2 can be subtracted for now. As far as the major generals are concerned in the South African Police Service, the total staff complement as reflected there is 204. Out of the 204, we have 125 major generals with a top secret clearance. There's 13 major generals where the clearance expired and they need to reapply. There's 1 incident where the clearance was denied, and a total of 65 vettings that are currently in process. On the level of brigadier, the total staff establishment 700. 253 have a top secret clearance, 6 secret clearance, 4 has got a confidential clearance. There's a total of 42 where the clearance has expired and they need to reapply. In 7 instances, the security clearances were denied. In process, we have 266 and then a total of 122 where the applications are still outstanding and we are currently in process to obtain the necessary applications. 75 new security clearances for senior managers, Honourable Chair, have been issued since the targeted vetting focus, as I indicated, where we prioritise specific environments for the purpose of vetting. Increase of 55 in process applications for senior management since the targeted vetting focus. All the outstanding senior managers have been instructed to apply on the e-vetting system before the end of the month, 31 March 2018, and in that regard, the relevant divisional and provincial commissioners have been instructed to enforce the instruction. Honourable Chair, that is in brief the current status of vetting in the South African Police Service as far as the crime intelligence environment is concerned and top management within SAPS from the level of Brigadier to Lieutenant General. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, General Rabi. General Sithole, is there anything you want to add?
Thanks, Honourable Chair. It's just for me to say there's a two-pronged approach. There's a current situation which we address by means of a project plan. And in terms of the current situation, I have instructed the senior managers, both General Tumane, General Ngwenya, so that we enhance the capacity of vetting. And the IZ, we get members who have got skills and who are trained in vetting that are not necessarily within CI. We get them into the projects as part and parcel of service arrangements so that we can increase, that is, the speed of vetting. And we're also looking at their resourcing so that they get all the necessary resources for us to speed up this particular process. Then we've got a medium term that we're dealing with, and then which is the total resourcing of the vetting process in the organization. But there's also a few policy issues. They are also busy with policy development so that we can actually make vetting part and parcel of the policy framework. Thank you.
Thank you, General Sithole. Also a word of welcome to the new Minister of Police, Minister Becky Kele. Very much welcome to the Portfolio Committee on Police. We'll in future indeed invite you to come and brief us on your vision, but you're also welcome today to contribute or participate. You're very much welcome. Yes, let's start with the questions. The first two from my side, and then I will give the opportunity to members. Now, on slide 3, the status of vetting of crime intelligence. It's indicated that it's 29 top secret, in process 22. But what isn't very clear from this slide is how many of these managers have applied for the first time, because it doesn't indicate that it's reapplications. So how many of these top officials are applying indeed for the first time for that status? And then I think the National Commissioner referred to the issue of process. Now, we had testimony also last year before the committee where security clearances was issued by mid-level staff. Is there now in CI environment what due checks and balances in place to ensure that if I want to print out illegally a security clearance, it can be done? What measures is now in place since that incident to ensure that there is, on the one hand, quality control, but also a proper signing off in terms of the adequate authority? Can we maybe get assurances on that? What exactly has been implemented since that incident last year? Honourable Mulabatsi.
Thank you, Chairperson. The two generals that are not vetted, what is their status for now? Are they still subs members? Are they still at work? What's happening? You, on both brigadier levels and generals, you have a big chunk of expired clearance. What does that imply? Does it mean the particular individuals are still, it's normal, they're still at work? What does that imply if their clearance is expired? My third one is on our friend, Brigadier Peg. Was she convicted in 1997? And if she was, how was she enlisted 2 years thereafter? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. In slide 3, on confidential, you said no clearance, 4,184 personnel are not, they have no clearance. Where are they working? Are they still working in crime intelligence without clearance? My second question, in slide 6, all members whose security clearance expired have been instructed to apply. Did they apply? My third question is in slide 7. No, on a confidential status of vetting senior management of SAPS 1. It says no application, 124, no application. What steps taken to those who didn't apply? My last question is the question of Brigadier Petli. Because last time you said Brigadier Petli is on leave. So I want to know, is she suspended or what? And the other thing, I remember General Stole, you told us that about the 50,000 that was paid in Brigadier Petli's account, you said the Inspector General is going to investigate. How far is the investigation? My last one is this, that doesn't fit well to me, the KGB, that one of KGB. What happened? Because I don't get. From 2013, he was arrested, and he was expelled from 2016. From 2013, he was paid by SARS. I don't know how. I want to know from you, General Sithole, did you put an investigation on this KGB thing? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mula. Honorable Maki.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just one question in terms of vetting. In crime intelligence, are all people in there need to be vetted, or are there categories that need to be vetted and some don't need to be vetted? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mushlungu.
Well, thank you, Chair. On slide 3, what I wanted to find out, Chairperson, is with the 22 in process, of those, what could be, what is the time frame given? Understanding that if we wanted to have an effective turnaround on crime intelligence that will be proactive, definitely at a thriving seat level, you will need managers who have been cleared not to be infested with this cancer of being criminals themselves, yet being accessible to such serious information. What could be the time frame by which this would be finished? I think the same goes to slide 7. senior management, vetting status of senior management with that 336 that is still in process. What are the time frames that are given there? Then lastly, Chairperson, will be the question of the risk factors. As Honorable Mula has raised that concern that, oh no, you Chairperson, you raised that issue of some people of that vetting process that was just printed by that untouchable lady who seemed to be enjoying some kind of high-level protection, which I think maybe we will also have a closure on that, because the question of lack of tangible consequence management on those that are found to be against the law, I think that is a serious mishap that actually taints the whole good work that is done by our members who many are doing very good work. But if then there is no clear steps of action that are taken against those that are in breach of the law, I think it demoralizes dedicated officers to a very, very high degree. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mushlungu. Honorable Mubele.
Thank you, Chairperson. just a handful of questions from my side. The first is, if I could be reminded, what is the duration of security clearance once issued and before which it needs to be reapplied for or renewed before expiry? Secondly, could I get confirmation if this vetting as per this status update, is that all done by the SSA, or is it done internally by CI, and if it's a combination, who does most of it? Is it mostly SSA or is it mostly internally by CI. And if it is done mostly internally, there's a question for me around possible risks in the fact that essentially the police are vetting themselves, and we already have an example in the Petle saga of how that can be misused and abused. So if it is mostly internally, what are the measures to mitigate those kinds of risks? Thirdly, I think it's similar to the question that Honorable Mulla asked, but just for the sake of having it clearly on the table, is what has happened to those officers whose clearance was denied, and just generally, what is the policy in this regard, and is that being adhered to? And then finally, just comparing with the baseline figures of the November 2017 presentation, could you confirm for me if I understand correctly that the post-establishment in CI has been reduced by approximately 1,400 posts? Because I see that the total figure given back in November was 8,856 personnel. And on slide 5, we're looking at 7488. So is that, from the HR angle, is that the shrinkage we've seen in the personnel establishments? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Bailey. Honourable Colabona.
Thank you. Yes, this takes us back to the last meeting we had on this. The question remains, what is the process? What do you do when a member of this upper echelon is denied clearance? What is the process? You have in senior management a major general, 7 brigadiers, 8 senior managers, all denied, and in crime intelligence, 81. In this slide, there were 4 colonels and for colonels and below. Then this slide, 5, is that the higher ranks, 81 denied, or is that some sort of duplication? Just explain those slide 4 and 5 to me, please. So, but what we're hearing is that there are still members in crime intelligence who can't obtain clearance. Now, the National Police Commissioner stated at our last meeting in this regard that he wanted people who could not obtain clearance to be moved to less sensitive areas. So what is the status there? I also had questions about, I believe the same female, a number of my colleagues have referred to the printing out of fake clearance documents. And because of this committee, just in time, she was stopped from being given a fat trip overseas. Has she been fired yet? What is the status? Certainly she should have been. And has she been suspended? Because if one's found being involved in that sort of treachery, surely one should be at least suspended pending the outcome. About your new applications, how soon in advance is a member told to apply for a new clearance certificate? Surely they know exactly the duration of the validity of a clearance certificate and should be applying for the new one before the old one runs out. Because if they don't, if they only wait, and it may just be the way the English is phrased in the document, but if they wait until it's expired, then they're told you must now apply, then there's a gap of could be some months where they have no clearance. Do they then stop work, sit at home drinking tea? What happens? You can't have people without clearance working in these positions. So I would like someone to tell me that actually 3 months before one expires, they go through the process again and there's a seamless transition, but I fear that might not be the case. And finally, for the rest, if they fail to apply by what looks to me to be a new deadline, 31st of March, what is the sanction? What will you do if a member, and there were members last time, as I recall, saying I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to bother. I mean, how dare they? So what are you going to do if one of your top structure in management or active just say no, I'm not doing it, or they miss the deadline? What's the sanction?
Yeah, just two additional ones from my side. I think in the previous briefing, we were informed that there was one or two of the lieutenant or major generals who declined to participate in vetting. Now, I just want to know, General, since you've took over as accounting officer, have you dealt with that issue? Is there any members, although there's a new deadline by which they must apply for e-vetting, but is there any current high-ranking officials who doesn't want to be part of that process? And secondly, the risk at lower level, operational level. For instance, your colonels, especially in the CI environment, where they control informants, where they control sources, if those colonels and majors are not vetted, your risk for maladministration, possible financial irregularities, and also compromising of confidential and secret information is a reality. So with that huge number of brigadiers that's outside the vetting field currently, what steps are you taking to mitigate that? Because you might find one day that some of your top SMS members or other members are part of possibly organized crime or they leak information to other jurisdictions. What are you doing to mitigate those risks? Thank you very much. General Sithole.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Let me first take the opportunity to express our appreciation for the questions raised. I am going to deal with the strategic part of the questions and the operational ones that will be taken by the relevant parties of the FEDEM. The first question that I would like to talk to is the matter concerning Brigadier Petla. There's few questions that are talking to it. The first one, I'd just like General Ngwenya to explain the enlistment part, because I instructed HR immediately after the Radio 702 that is the broadcasting. To her to investigate. With your permission, she will just take the commissioner. Thank you.
Thank you, General Sithole, General Ngwenya.
Thank you, General. Very good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister. In terms of the SAPS vetting strategy, what is it that we're doing within the HR environment to ensure that we do not continue with the challenges that we have encountered? We have started working on reviewing the human resource policy framework to reflect vetting at entry level and career mobility. And what we mean by that is that for promotions, the current situation, we do not have a situation where members are required to be vetted prior to being promoted. But what we are currently working on to be included in the policies that prior to them being promoted, they will have to be subjected to a vetting process, and should members not meet the requirements as per required by the vetting process, they will then not be promoted. And also within the recruitment criteria, we do have processes in terms of Regulation 11 where members will be subjected to certain criteria, but we are also going to include the vetting process. The next batch of recruits that we'll be taking in the next financial year, not those who have just started with the training, we are going to ensure that they get subjected to the vetting process. It will already have been included in the policy. It is a work in process. We have already started reviewing the policies within the human resource management. Honorable Chair, thank you.
Maybe just on that response, General Sithole, General Ngwenya, I mean, it is kind of reactive. Shouldn't that have been part of the process previously? That's my concern. So the new intake of last year and the current intake won't be vetted. So again, you kind of postpone the risk to the organization. So people will come in, you don't know exactly what are the risks, and you will find that out in later years. That is my concern. Any other Honorable Mulabatsi on that response?
Thanks, Chair. On that very one of a person not being promoted because he doesn't meet a particular vetting criteria, and then does it mean that person, after not meeting that criteria, will just stay on that position, nothing else will happen, no demotion, no chucking out or something, nothing else?
Thank you, members. It's General Sitole.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Member. Chair, let me first start with the recruitment one. When we came last to the committee, we indicated that we are reviewing the recruitment policy so that it talks to the Strategic Intelligence Act, which then means before people come into the organization, then they will be subjected to vetting. Now, the past intakes, they happen before we finalize the policy. That is why at the present moment it's seen as reactive, but it's ready for the next intake that we will be able, that is, to follow it. On the question of the member not being promoted, in terms of the policy framework that we decided to develop, we are targeting the employment contract, not necessarily the promotion levels. When the member come into the organization, in terms of the current policy that we're developing, we want to enter into an agreement with the member that vetting is going to be part and parcel of your employment contract. Should for any reason your vetting lapse and is not renewed, then we revoke the employment contract. Then it means if it's linked to the employment contract, whether the member has not been promoted or promoted, the employment contract still applies, and we will use the employment contract to dispose of the member, that is himself. So that's what we're linking, because before it has not been linked. But as we also do so, because it's HR policies, we will also have to go through the labor processes so that we also inform labor to say this is our policy stance now, and we're going to implement it. So I think that's what we're currently doing and moving to. I accept that we might be reactive on the previous ones, but moving forward, General Ngwenya would also add.
Honourable Chair, to add, I want to assure committee members that the fact that our current policies do not yet include the vetting process will not necessarily mean that we might have recruited trainees whose credibility is questionable. You will recall that at some stage we presented before the committee that we were piloting the community-based recruitment strategy, which we have put in place, and the current recruits were subjected to that process. But also within the requirements for recruitment, the criteria that we are currently applying, we believe it produced to us recruits that meet the requirements where we are convinced that they are good cops. Thanks.
Story can go ahead. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe just closing this one, that over and above what General Ngwenya is explaining, we also subject members currently into the GAC system, which is able to pick up whether this member has got an illicit or whatever. Then on the matter, the first question, which was first-time applications, whether are we able to see whether they are senior, which of them are first-time applicants as senior managers. I'll give that to CI. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, thank you. Chairperson, we have requested the office to send us the exact figures. However, that figure includes both brigadiers and major generals. We may say even before we receive the figures that among the major generals in that figure, most of them would have been three applications. I'm figuring if there's any major general who came in who would not have seen his name in the list prior to that. So most of them would be reapplications. It's the brigadiers that I want to have certainty. So the office is looking at that. In terms, Chairperson, honorable members, there is also the issue of the time frame with regards to those 22. And we would like to link that response to the question of the controls. Now, if we start with the controls, honorable members, we believe that the controls currently are sufficient because for each candidate there is a report, there is a file, investigation and evaluation report, and for each decision that is taken, there is a panel that sits, there is attendance registers, there are minutes, and people sign. So it is possible for the organization to go back and revisit each file of whatever applicant to see what happens, and those are the processes we engage in. So we're comfortable, and that's precisely the reason, Chairperson, we were able to pick up that those certificates you referred to and which became your concern as honorable members. That's how we're able to pick up that process was not followed, because if it's not there on the record, then we know. Also, before we touch on this issue, again, of the time frame, the question that the police vet themselves, that is the provision of the law. State security must do the same, defense intelligence must do the same. Then on the question of the time frame, particularly of the 22, I think the question, Honorable Chairperson, now rests with us, counterintelligence, not even with the National Commission and the Honorable Members. I think you've held the organization to account sufficiently, and the organization has responded by giving us unqualified support. Now, we would just wait on you to give us a deadline when you want us to report on these issues, but it's now with us, counterintelligence. The capacities that we have, yes, are limited at the moment, but we've got unqualified support to improve that capacity to address those issues. So it's up to you to give us the deadline, but I think within 2 to 3 months, we should be done with those 22, except that sometimes there are questions like pending cases and so on, and the provision in the Constitution, which then says we have to assume those people to be innocent. So such questions, sometimes we refer to lawyers. It does take time in that regard. But from a technical point of view, I think this should be done. That's our commitment within 2 months from today. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Over and above, in terms of the first-time applicants, the only first-time applicants could be new people that we have taken into the organization, but the rest are all the normal people who have been part of the routine, but we will avail the information. Over and above the controls, Chair, which is also part of the policy, we will also have an appeal board, because this is the panel that is scrutinizing the applications. But there will be an appeal committee, which will also be formalized in terms of the policy to strengthen, that is, the quality control purpose. Then,
sorry, General. So there is currently not an appeal board in place? it's just a panel?
Currently, sir, there is no structured appeal board. The Act says the minister is the one who handles the appeal. But what we want to do is to put a quality control mechanism so that we purify what goes to the minister and make sure that it is right and is properly controlled. We do have the panel, which is the one that scrutinizes all the applications, that when we issue a certificate, it is correctly issued and this person deserves that particular certificate. So the second one is going to be functional within the project as from 1st April. Thank you, Chair.
So, sorry, General, I think there's a hand at the back on the same issue here.
Apology, Chair. The numbers have come. They are saying it's 11-11. New reapplications, that's both brigadiers and major generals. New applications 11 and reapplications 11 of that 22.
Because I think, General Sithole, in the previous briefing that we received, there was an indication that 13% of SMS has not submitted an application for clearance, but I mean, I think it's one of the issues you're still responding to, but can you give the committee assurance that everybody will apply, there will be no exceptions to the rule?
Honourable Chair, I want to give that particular assurance and further indicate, I said let us put it within policy. I think firstly, if a member's application, we're going to have an early warning. The early warning is going to show us that the following applications are about to expire. And all members will be forced to apply 3 months before they expire. And failure to do so, we will link it to the consequence part. The same applies if a member has been denied security clearance. We are going to give that member, we've been discussing as part of the policy, that we're going to give that member maximum 14 days. Failure to reapply because it's part and parcel of the employment contract. Failure to apply will have to revoke the employment contract. So I think these are the measures that we put in place, and we want to put the onus on the member to file the application, and we're not going to sit with applications which are outstanding. There must have been action taken. Thank you, Chair. Then, Chair, there's this question of what are we going to do with the generals that are not vetted. There's also, this question extends by other honourable members. What are we going to do with the members, the bulk of the members? Where are they? Firstly, let me honestly say to the committee, these members are still in CI. I can't say they are anywhere else because I don't want to mislead the committee. They are still there. And those who are in the other environments, they are also still there. The one case that we would like to single out is the case of General Mkhushane. I think we redeployed him. Presently, he's with management intervention. It's no longer with CI. Our intention is to speed up the process. I think General Zimu has reported our first target that I've given this project plan, it's the end of the first quarter, that by the end of the first quarter, we must have got rid of the backlog, especially the senior managers. But this project will stretch from now, end of the first quarter, until end of June. And then end of June, we want to be looking at a final report in terms of how are we disposing that is of this. And in the beginning of the financial year, we want to be looking at formally enhancing the vetting capacity in of the organization. There will be an HR plan to it because the reality is that the size of the vetting capacity we have is too small to handle the size of the organization. So we will be looking at those. The policies that we are developing, they are among others, intending to help us to dispose of those that are in those positions. One of the things that we do, and it talks to the question by Honorable Make, I said we must do a purification of of all the vetting status. That instruction is out. Not everyone requires top secret. By the nature of the duties that the people are doing. So when we start doing that purification, there's few people that will remain at top secret. And they also even include senior members, because certain of the people, their nature of duty does not necessarily require, it still require vetting, but the categorization is not at top secret. So the top secret one is the one that takes us a little bit more time. The others, I think they are quick. And the whole vetting status, as we've given it here, the picture will change when we do the purification, just of the current situation. Next time when we come to the committee, we'll come with a totally purified process, which will give a new picture. I'm just saying it in advance so that the committee should not think we're misleading them, we're giving them a figure now, then next time it's changed. So the purification is part of the deliverable description of the project. But at the moment, the members are still in the organization.
General Sitoli, there's a number of hands. I just want to deal with them quickly. Follow-ups, Honorable Mula, Honorable Bele, and Mshlongu. Yes, Mshlongu and Bele.
Thank you, Chairperson. This redeployment of General Mkushane, is it a promotion or what? And what I want to ask, is General Mkushane under investigation or what about that particular thing? Thank you, Chairperson.
Member, Honorable Mshlongu.
Thanks. I understand, General Sion, that some of the things that you are raising, to me it seems to be some kind of rapid reaction in a crisis management kind of a situation. Yes, of course, I won't say it's of your making because of the disasters, after disasters that have been there in the top management of South African police, almost for 9 years. Now, what I wanted to find out, Chairperson, is do we have a workplace skills plan as dictated to by the Employment Equity Act? Because I'm raising this because without these issues, Chairperson, that are coming up or they keep on cropping up. These are the things, in my own understanding, that can be ironed out there at that level in terms of the direction of the institution. So as to avoid these cut and paste and all these things, because I can tell you, I can see crisis after crisis, even only if we don't have, because at the end of the day, it will depend what has been presented. After then, the presentation, then there will be a reaction to say, quick reaction to say, no, to fix this, we need this. And I don't think that is a sustainable way of running an organization, Chairperson. Honestly speaking, and I think forever the service will be in crisis, operating on a crisis mode management, over a very long time, and there will never be a stability in the organization. Not unless and only if we follow these guidelines that are there, these tools that are there, apply them in a sustainable way, so as to take the organization on a long. Otherwise, it will depend on who has been appointed as a head, and that person, I don't really think that we will ever come to a kind of equilibrium of what really we need to achieve. Do we have a workplace skills plan, which I think it will involve even the unions and all those stakeholders that are dictated to, so that we can actually then be able to have a proactive HR department. Because really, under the circumstances, I don't want to venture into what Honorable Mula raised about that particular person of KGB, because I think we will have time today maybe to finalize that and deal with it in a very, 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 very robust way, in a manner that which I, tomorrow, as I was not here, but listening to what you were grilled on by Scopa on it, I felt very much ashamed of it to say, no, this thing is really too far. And I think at times you need to pull the bull by its own horns, Chairperson, as a responsible committee. Because to me, if we don't do that, really, tomorrow there will be no service to the people. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Shlongo, Honourable Bailey, Honourable Kola Barnard, and then Honourable Mula. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just in terms of the National Commissioner's admission, and I do thank him for his honesty and transparency, that those members who have been found to not be eligible for the required clearance are still in CI, which is obviously very concerning, because given the sensitivity of the CI environment, if there's any place where we need rapid and immediate response when somebody is found not to, if somebody is found that they should not be there, it links to the point that the chairperson was making about the spike in cash in transit heists. You know, tackling organized crime, we're just not going to do it sustainably unless the weaknesses and dysfunction in crime intelligence are sorted. And it starts with these kinds of basics of consequence management, enforceability, accountability enforcement, and getting the bad apples out. Now, I take the point about the review that's in process, but surely there must be some provision in the current frameworks for dealing with this, you know, much more quickly. I don't think it suffices to say that the members are still in CI and the review's underway and it's going to have to go for consultation with organized labor and NEDLAC and who knows wherever, and then we just sit with the problem. I mean, is there absolutely nothing in the framework, provisions that can be used in the meantime to address the matter in the short term? Because if it's simply going to be a matter of we're going to sort of hang in limbo and wait until the other reviews and the other intended processes are done, then I have no other label for it other than to call it mismanagement. It is deficient management of the SAPS as an organization, and it's undermining and compromising the goals it's meant to achieve. So please, there must be something that can be done. There are files you can dig through to find the right provisions, please. And then in terms of the response that the internal vetting done within the SAPS, and in particular within CI by CI, I take the point that, sure, it's a provision of law, given that crime intelligence is part of the national intelligence machinery. But why, for example, could the vetting of at least senior management, in particular within crime intelligence, why couldn't that be done externally? Just as a check and balance, just as a measure of independence, putting the process at arm's length so that it's less vulnerable to being manipulated. Is that being done? If not, why not? Can we look at that? Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Kola Bona.
Thank you, Chair. I just thought while we were looking at the comments about the levels of clearance that one needs, we could perhaps look at the level of security clearance required per occupational classification. So that would then give us an idea. As you say, some people don't actually need the higher clearance for what they're doing. So if we can have details of those levels, and it struck me also that with Richard and Bluley gone, the very original report that was done on him many years ago indicated that he'd hired 7 of his family members into crime intelligence, given them boosted positions, fancy cars. It was part of the whole looting of crime intelligence that went on. Now, I'm aware that certain of his family members are still in crime intelligence, and I'm wondering how they would get clearance in the knowledge that they are directly related to someone who's been given the boot. and obviously has an axe to grind. So please just fill me in on I believe his son is running the interceptions. I don't know what the others were doing or were ever qualified to do.
Honorable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. I forgot this question. Is General Mukuchane vetted now or what?
Thank you very much. Members, let's just take an early five-minute tea, and then we'll come back for the responses. And after those responses, we will go to the next topic. Thank you very much. 5 minutes.